The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Alina Haba with a legal update regarding Donald Trump, and Colton Moore from Georgia about the push to fire Fannie Willis. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. That is Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA, the nation's most important student movement in general in the country. TPUSA.com. That is TPUSA.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at TPUSA.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is a man who's gone very viral. He broke the news on our show, Colton Moore, Georgia State Senator. Colton, thank you for joining the show. So last week, we had a strange interview, I got to be honest. We had Clint Dixon on the show, and he suggested that, unfortunately, the Georgia legislature does not have enough power to call the emergency session. Just clean this up for us, because that was a very confusing dialogue.
My gosh. These senators, I guess they're so used to not doing anything that they believe that they can't do anything. I tell you, Charlie, I've had conversations with some of these senators who are attorney, okay? And they say, well, when we created this prosecutorial council, we gave up our legislative power to do anything. And it's basic legislative process. A legislature cannot legislate a future legislature. This prosecutorial commission, I hope Fannie Willis is the first one on the chopping block. The problem is they have no schedule. They have no rules. They've just now been appointed. So meanwhile, while they're working through all of that, my constituents' taxpayer dollars are still funding Fannie Willis and this rogue regime. You know, they say, we as a legislature, we don't have subpoena power. Well, we do. It's in 28-1-16, where it gives the Ethics Commission of both the House and the Senate the power to subpoena and have anyone testify, dig into any type of document. I mean, the question becomes, how did we create this prosecutorial council and give them this authority if we didn't have the authority to do it ourselves? All they're doing, Charlie, is kicking the can down the road. They're finding every excuse they possibly can not to do their real job. And that's to take action and sign on to a special session.
So, yeah, what is behind this? So I don't understand the arguments. Why, not you, but why are Southern Republicans so weak? And I don't mean to pick on it, but this dog wouldn't hunt in most other states. Is it just that the Republican Party is mostly filled with Democrats?
I think that might be part of the reason. I'm not sure. You know, some of these Democrats, I think, have a better sense of what's going on than some of these Republicans. I mean, they are just cowered down. It's like they've got the governor on one side of them and they've got their people on the other. And they're just like, well, I don't know what to do. They've never experienced this type of pressure before. People are calling their phones left and right. They're saying, do your job. And all they can come back to the people with is, I'm sorry, we don't have any authority. It's almost like they think their only authority is recognizing the Boy Scout troops in session.
So then let's explain the law letting panels punish or remove rogue prosecutors. Are you telling me that this is not something that every Republican in the House or the Senate agree that Fannie Willis should be removed? This is as an outsider, this is so strange that this is even debated.
Right. You know, I would hope that every single Republican in the Georgia legislature can recognize what's going on, can recognize the fact that even one of our fellow senators are being indicted right now, all under this rogue regime of Fani Willis. So let's hope that they all agree we need to remove Fani Willis from office. But what no other senator besides me and one other have agreed to is calling a special session to immediately remove her fund, because I represent 200,000 people just like every other senator, and they sweat hard for their tax dollars, Charlie. They don't want it funding this regime. Just imagine that you take away all of Fani Willis's Georgia state tax dollar. That means she could only be funded by the federal government or the citizens of Fulton County. Now, let's realize Fulton County citizens, their neighbors are getting murdered. Their other neighbors are getting robbed. I mean, 60% increase in crime. Do you think when they start paying higher taxes to fund Fani Willis, do you think they want her to go after some political opponents they've never met or their neighbor that just got murdered?
And so you're going after the money. Is that a vector where you think you can get agreement on from your colleagues?
You know, we have a Senate caucus meeting here in about an hour and a half, and all of the Georgia Republican senators, we're all going to meet together privately. We're going to have this discussion. And I hope we can walk out of there with a consensus that we should at least pull all the money away from Fani Willis. Because I don't know how you get elected as a Republican, how you say you're a conservative fighter and you support Trump, if you're willing to send your constituents' money to Fani Willis, who is acting like an authoritarian Nazi.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right. And so just so I'm clear, I want to get to the call to action, but I bet in that closed door meeting, some of them are going to be rather angry at you, the one leading voice. Is that right? Just fill us in. I'm sure that you are not exactly to run for prom king of the Georgia legislature right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But Charlie, you know as well as I do, this is so much bigger than my seat in the Senate. This is so much bigger than Donald Trump. This is about freedom in the United States of America. And Charlie, I will carry the flag to the governor's feet. I will not yield. This is a fight worth fighting for, because if we lose our First Amendment right to question the integrity of an election, we will never get them back, and there is nowhere else we can go.
So what is the call to action? Who do we contact? What is the message? Because any Republican that doesn't agree at this should be immediately primaried and removed from office.
I 100% agree. So I won't. Any Georgian that's listening, please call your state senator, call your state representative and say, please write a letter to the governor calling for a special session. And if you're outside of the state of Georgia, you can go to my website, ColtonMoore.com/emergency, and find out other ways you can help.
Well, okay. So ColtonMoore.com/emergency. ColtonMoore.com.
That's right, Charlie.
/emergency. Colton, good luck in your meeting. We have your back. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Everybody, email us freedom@charliekirk.com. There's something, I have a theory about this. Some of the most based Republicans in the country are from California or from New York or from Michigan, from Minnesota. Some of the weakest Republicans in the country are from red states, especially southern states. And I think it's because growing up as a Republican in a southern state, you are told your whole life that you're racist, that you're guilty for slavery, and it creates this almost beta energy in Republican circles where they're afraid of their own shadow. And this is a very serious problem. This is why, I mean, a good question is, why has the Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall not introduced a criminal investigation into the Southern Poverty Law Center? Look at South Carolina. Lady Graham is a perfect example of what you get in Southern Republican culture. He's not a fire-breathing constitutionalist warrior. They sort of seem like they're on cruise control, but they're always afraid of their own shadow, and they're beat down because they've been called a racist their whole life. So they do everything they possibly can to try to appease the other side. They're not fighters. It's as if like, oh, no, we're different Republicans. We're not like Strom Thurmond. We're not like these other guys. Even though Strom Thurmond is a really bad example for multiple reasons. We're not like George Wallace. okay, why don't you stand for something? This has infected the psyche of so many Southern Republicans, so many. And it's too bad because we need them more than ever. If the South was actually as conservative as their voters, the country would be in a much better place. Instead, the Democrats have used a very powerful manipulation tactic, guilt. 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 And white Republicans in the South live in this stage of guilt, afraid of their own shadow. This is why BLM was so smart. Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. You can make an argument that Andrew Breitbart and Rush Limbaugh, may they both rest in peace, change the conservative movement forever, that we are the inheritors of a new right that Andrew and Rush paved. Andrew, Rush, Trump. You do not get Donald Trump with an Andrew Breitbart and Rush Limbaugh. You do not get Donald Trump. MSNBC is now kind of under... Wait, hold on a second. They're like really confused. Wait, this mugshot, all this stuff might not be going the way we want it to. Play cut 148.
I want to focus on the mugshot today because that's a big deal. That is a big deal. That will be Donald Trump's image throughout history. That one photograph will be one of the most important photographs in the history of this country. And we are a visual world. And think if you're creating an ad or you're writing a story, you just need to show that image. You don't have to tell any other story. An ex-president with a mugshot. Of course, the outcome of the case is the important thing, but even that visual that will stand through time.
Now, I think he means it in a totally different way, that he thinks that people won't like it, that they'll be repulsed by it. It kind of creates a American rebel attitude. The indictments are the continual attempt by the American left to do something significant. We remember 1776 as the founding of America. One of the course of human events becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands that have tied them to another. They're trying to refound the country. The regime is trying to have their 1776 moment. You're living through their 1776 moment right now. They're trying to refound the country, change the Constitution, create new traditions, customs. They look at this as their opportunity to have a Lexington and Concord eventual rewriting of the whole thing. They are trying to say, now it is time for us to found a new regime. If you study The Prince, written by Machiavelli, which is an unbelievably deep book. I'm actually in a class right now being taught by Michael Anton from the Claremont Institute. Boy, it is deep. The Prince is far deeper than I think most people recognize or realize. You kind of think of it as this short book or ends justify the means and kind of throw out antiquity and welcome in modernity. It's a lot deeper than that. One of the things that Machiavelli argues in The Prince was that when you're founding a new regime, it is not possible to found a new regime without some form of political violence. Somebody asked me recently, they said, Charlie, when do you think that things are going to get violent? I said, I pray they don't. But in some ways, putting Donald Trump and getting a mugshot, that's an act of violence. Think about it. If he doesn't show up, they will arrest him with guns. If he doesn't report, they will arrest him. That is an act of violence. Indicting your political opponents is using the collectivization of violence. And they are using these measures. They are using these tools to try and not just transform, but completely refound the nation. These people are so prideful. They are so self-involved. Pelosi, Schumer, Biden, Comey. They want to be remembered as the American founders of the new America. The America without borders. The America without a middle class. That new America means that they will be permanently powerful. That new America is going to be a new regime. But that can only happen if they can steamroll, shred, and eventually intimidate the decent half of the country, the conservative half of the country, into silence and eventually into submission. It's hard to know what's going on when you're in the midst of a hurricane, but I could tell you clearly, you are living through a cultural revolution and an attempted, a planned, a plotted refounding of America. They look at this as their historic 1776 moment. The question is, will we be able to stop them? Hey, Charlie Kirk here. If you guys love this program and you want to support this program, if we have impacted or blessed your life in any way, I want to tell you about a new thing that we are starting it up. First of all, if you have supported us at charliekirk.com/support, nothing to worry about. You guys are going to be moved on over. If you want to support us even more and say, hey, I want exclusive content, I want to talk to Charlie directly, we are standing up this amazing infrastructure. Team's been working so hard at members.charliekirk.com. Not only is it a way to support us directly outside of all of the other channels, but get this, live Q&As with me and the team, articles exclusively written by me that you won't find anywhere else, pre-show prep calls, and more. Sign up today at members.charliekirk.com. We love bringing our show every day, and we can't wait to bring you even more content that is just for you at the Charlie Kirk exclusive. That's members.charliekirk.com. Head to members.charliekirk.com today. Yes, there's going to be a lot of goodies, a lot of engagement, a lot of fun stuff. But even more than that, if you feel moved and compelled that our show is impacting you and impacting the world, it would mean a lot if you became a member at members.charliekirk.com. Joining us now is Alina Haba. Alina, thank you for taking the time. You are obviously part of Trump's legal team, just so our audience knows if they aren't filled in. Alina, how are you doing? How's the president feeling today?
Great. I tell you right now, Charlie, I think I have less energy than him. He's amazing. He's in good form, working hard and meeting with people for the campaign and other things like that. And just really, you know, hits the ground running. It's like nothing ever happened. It's unbelievable.
So walk us through the day yesterday. You were golfing with President Trump. He's about to get booked, to get the mugshot. Walk us through his, you know, from breakfast to mugshot. Walk us through the day.
Sure. He, you know, is in Bedminster for the summer. That's where he summers. And he has his team with him. Obviously, I'm part of that team. And he gets his rundowns every morning and he has his routine. And part of his routine most days is that he likes to golf and clear his head in the morning. And he did. He didn't do anything different yesterday. You know, and he was back and forth between joking and defiant. You know, and when I say joking, you know, I think just being him, he's a very funny person. He's a happy person generally. And, for somebody who was getting arrested in a couple hours, he was in really good form and hitting the ball straight. And, you know, he's actually a really good golfer, by the way. People, you know, there's a lot of jokes and things, but he's actually an amazing golfer. So he was golfing and meeting and discussing things. And we did have a couple discussions, about what the day would look like and what was happening in Georgia. It's a little bit of a different form than other states and other venues. But yeah, you know, talking about if he was going to get a mugshot, we weren't sure. Went from there.
So it wasn't sure. I mean, and so did it surprise you that these savages actually went for the mugshot, which is now obviously backfiring in spectacular fashion?
Yeah, you know, we talked about, I don't want to get into privilege conversations, but I don't necessarily think this is something he'd be opposed to. It's not really privileged. But look, at the end of the day, yeah, we talked about it. he did exactly what I recommended, which was not to smile. I don't think this is funny. I know there was a lot of media coverage on what he would look like, what he would do. And he had, you know, seen that as well. And I just said, you know, what I had said on TV, which is that this isn't funny. This is sad. If they do a mugshot, it's clearly, like you said, her trying to get a trophy. But frankly, the trophy was ours.
Yes.
Because if you look at that mugshot now, it's been a revenue booster. It's been epic. And it was his entry back on X. And I think that those things Fanny didn't think through, much like her, you know, bringing 19 people in. And now there's a speedy trial and we're going to get to see what her case is before him.
So just do you have any idea of the volume of small dollar donations? I think the campaign is probably overwhelmed yesterday. It was
so much.
Pretty positive, right?
Yes, so positive. If you look on the campaign website, there's actually a ticker. And I have to be very careful because I'm not part of the campaign. I'm on a different side of the track, but there's a ticker and you can see it. It's public. And if you looked at it, it was great because I really like this about it. The donations, a lot of the donations that I saw last night were, on the website were $24 and $47. And I just love that. It's such an F you in some ways. And, they're great. Like, you know, people, most of his, my understanding from them is that most of his donors are not the big money donors. They're, you know, the ones giving you $10, $11, and it adds up. And people were outraged and obviously putting their money where their mouth was last night.
So let's talk about the essence of some of these cases, Alina. This is what is really scary, the multiple cases and timeline. Fannie Willis is asking for an October trial date. This is insane. Your thoughts?
Yeah. So Cheely, I believe, is the defendant that asked for a speedy trial in October. I think, we did put a statement out. The attorney who's handling this put a statement out and said that we will not be asking for a speedy trial. That is not our position. There are differing opinions based on the facts relating to each defendant. The fact that one defendant wants October speedy trial, the fact that she tried to have one on, you know, everything is an election based date. If you look at all his cases, and I probably should do this for the American people because like I did with the Biden, you know, at the DC, outside the DC courthouse, we have a lot of cases, Charlie, and October for Fannie is on par with a lot of them. Letitia James has an October date, that she would not have moved. The judge would not move it. And that's something that, again, she has been doing a special investigation for years, and they just decided to bring the trial now in the election year. Fannie, another example, 2.5 years, they bring it now. They want a speedy trial in October, and they're lining up. So it's October, January. We have two in March. We have May. And we're going to fight them. But I think it's ironic, and I think the American people need to hear, not ironic, frankly, planned and deceptive to the American public, to hold up the leading GOP candidate and make sure that he is tied up in trials and depositions for weeks on end and unable to campaign. It's just sad, and it's intentional.
So which trial do you think is actually going to end up being first then? And when do you think that would be in a timeline? Springish, maybe?
It depends on the jurisdictions. I think Alvin Bragg's was first. Obviously, Fannie is so outlandish. I mean, I can't even make legal arguments for the things she's saying. And I could not possibly see that this case would go anytime before the spring. I think by spring, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them went forward. Obviously, we're going to make arguments according to each case and their details and what we need. But the most important thing is we need to have our turn to do discovery and our turn for criminal cases to be able to look at the witnesses and prepare a case. We have civil cases. We have criminal cases. You know, Letitia's a big civil case. Those take weeks. They're 6 weeks at a time. So just because there's a trial date, people don't realize a lot of these dates don't even match up. We have two in May. That doesn't work. Jack Smith, you know, allegedly was coordinating with some of these people, but I guess they didn't talk about their trial calendar. It makes no sense. And any attorney would understand that it's an impossibility.
The issue that there's several issues here. Obviously, defendants have a right to a speedy trial. So they have they're able to hopefully, you know, your guys are able to push back against this. Is there any chance that a judge is like, well, you know, this guy's a former president and running for the presidency again, we should postpone these post-election?
I think there should be. I mean, we're making the arguments for it. There is such a thing as election interference. There is such a thing as bias. There is such a thing as prosecutorial misconduct. And we have seen that, and we will make arguments that that exists, as we saw Jim Jordan yesterday is starting to look into Fannie herself. But if you look at across the board, Charlie, I mean, Jack Smith, Letitia James, D.A. Bragg, Fannie, these are people that have had investigations, grand juries. I mean, I can go through each of them for you, but I'd probably bore everybody. But, you know, Jack Smith has a grand jury in Washington where everyone hates Trump, but then has to bring the case in Florida because procedurally and venue wise, that's where it had to be. I've never seen that. That's inappropriate. Look at D.A. Bragg. We had one of his prosecutors leave because he wouldn't bring the charges. And then he got such bad backlash. He comes in. He comes in, says, oh, I'm not going to do it. Then he does do it. And he does it only after he says he's running for office. Okay. Fannie, 2.5 years, 2.5 years, this phone call and their indictment is covered with what? Tweets saying to watch OAN? I mean, I don't understand, but she brings it now. So all these issues and all, our eyes are open. We have a lot of evidence ourselves and we'll deal with it accordingly.
It is extraordinary to see. And the jurisdiction issues are a big one. Is there any chance that the DC one will get moved to West Virginia? I know that's a motion that's going to be considered at some point.
Yeah, they'll make a motion to change venue, I'm sure. And I'm not going to, reveal our legal strategy, but all the motions that need to be made, including recusal and including some of the things I've just mentioned, will be made. Fannie, for instance, should be in federal court. It should not be a state court issue. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Unfortunately, we have judges that are partisan, that are politically motivated making these decisions. So we have an internal problem. It's not even about making the motion. It's not even about the law anymore, Charlie. It's about politics. That's the problem.
They want to throw us all in jail. Alina, how can people help and support? What is the best website, the best links to help if they want?
Yeah, I can't really speak to the campaign, but I'm sure if you wanted to help President Trump, you could and figure out how to do that. And what I always say is prayer. I think we have to pray for our country and for our children and their future, and for the people fighting for this country. That's where my day begins and ends.
Alina, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get our Never Surrender shirt, just go to charliekirk.com and become an annual member. That is charliekirk.com. We appreciate all of you that get behind us and support us. And you can also do that at charliekirk.com. So by all objective accounts, even the New York Times agreed that the worst performance of anybody at the debate was Asa Hutchinson. Asa Hutchinson was basically a waste of space. He didn't say anything new. He said, the way that we stop crime is you enforce the law. Really, that's unique, Asa. Thanks for your time. Total waste of rations, right? However, it's interesting, why was Asa Hutchinson allowed on stage and Larry Elder was not allowed on stage? That's an important question. Larry Elder would have been a very positive contribution to the debate. That's not the point I'm getting at, but it's important. And I'm curious why the RNC allowed Asa on but not Larry Elder. Maybe there's something going on. I don't know. So Asa Hutchinson said this. We know this, but there was something so interesting. And he just snuck it in there. I don't hear anybody picking up on it. So first, this is Asa Hutchinson talking about how you got to think lawyerly in this debate pledge. We've played this before, but then I'm going to tell you something he said during the debate that was like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's interesting. Play cut 24.
Of course, if you believe that he's not qualified under our Constitution, the 14th Amendment, then he's not going to even be in the picture.
Well, but I agree with you, but did you sign the pledge as a condition of being at the debate that you'll support the eventual nominee? I'm just trying to find the consistency with your stated positions. I admire some of them, but some of them don't add up.
You got to think a little bit lawyerly here that I signed it, saying I'm going to support the nominee of the party. I do not believe that Donald Trump will be the nominee of the party, so I can feel comfortable in signing that pledge.
Okay, so we know where he stands on that. And let me connect some dots for you here, 3 minutes. The great Tyler Boyer comes on the show a lot, runs Turning Point Action, fierce grassroots warrior. He is pushing forward stuff at the RNC. And I texted him yesterday, Andrew's on the chat. I said, hey, how does the RNC, the rank and file of the members of the RNC, how do they feel about Donald Trump? And he said, oh, they do not like Donald Trump. They do not like Donald Trump. I was like, oh, okay, well, that doesn't surprise me. Kind of moved on. Like, they were there at the debate. I'm like, okay. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, oh my gosh. Asa Hutchinson, who nobody paid attention to, is never going to be president. But he said something remarkable. He said that according to RNC rules, he doesn't think that a felon can become the nominee. He just slid it in there. And I was like, whoa, hold on a second. Has anyone actually checked the RNC rules to look at this? Did Asa Hutchinson say the quiet part out loud? Somebody briefed him on this. Somebody that, and by the RNC rules are like the Encyclopedia Britannica. Have we wargamed this out? Have we read the rule? Have we seen this? Listen to this. Play cut 172.
And over a year ago, I said that Donald Trump was morally disqualified from being president again as a result of what happened on January 6th. More people are understanding the importance of that, including conservative legal scholars who says he may be disqualified under the 14th Amendment from being president again as a result of the insurrection. This is something that could disqualify him under our rules and under the Constitution. And so, obviously, I'm not going to support somebody who's been convicted of a serious felony or who has is disqualified under our Constitution, and that's consistent with RNC rules.
Whoa, 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 whoa. How did we not catch that earlier? Consistent with RNC rules? That, forget all the screaming match of Chris Christie and Vivek. This is the most important Friday news story that I think we could find. Is Asa Hutchinson a spokesperson for an internal RNC coup against Donald Trump? He's a former district attorney and AG. I'm texting Tyler this. I'm like, we got to find these RNC rules and we got to get them out there. We, all of you on social media, we got to blow this up. Did Asa Hutchinson just say the quiet part out loud? Is there going to be an internal RNC resolution saying that RNC rules, he said our rules, and then he said clearly RNC rules are going to out of nowhere say it doesn't matter if you won the primary, RNC rules will not nominate you. I think we need to figure that out. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you've told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attacks on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. This is your moment to get in the fight. Every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Go to ACLJ.org right now and join us in the fight.